Welcome to worship on this Remembrance Sunday. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Dear ones, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Friends, please join me in today's call to worship. We gather together in the name of the one who bids us come. We gather together to hear the words of the one who is love. We gather together to sing praises of the one who teaches peace. Come, let us worship. And as we worship, let's light the Christ candle, remembering that Jesus is here with us wherever you are, and also here in the sanctuary. If you have a candle to light as you worship, let's do that together. Let us pray. God of resurrection and eternal life, hear our prayer as we come humbly into your presence. Here we are to find you, to know you, and be known by you, to praise your holy name. Ancient of Days, write your word on our hearts, that we may become your servants of peace. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, minds to know you more, and hearts to be moved to go out to love as you do, with joy, compassion, justice, and generosity. Lord, hear our prayer as we worship you in this time together today. Amen. Friends, sometimes we hurt ourselves, we hurt our friends or family, and sometimes we hurt God. Our prayer of confession is a chance to say sorry. Let us pray. God of peace, forgive us when we have participated in that which turns people against each other, for fueling anger and harboring vengeance, for not heeding your call to love one another. Inspire us never to give up on the hope that your life offers. Grant us the courage to see past war and desolation and to live for the day when this world will be filled with your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news. We read this in Philippians, that Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Through Jesus' obedience, we are forgiven, and we are being set free from all that enslaves us. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 12, and I'm reading verses 38 to 44 from the New Revised Standard Version. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, here we are, in the second week of our annual fall fundraising campaign. And we have just heard a story of a poor widow who gave her last two coins as an offering at the temple. One might think that I had picked this text to support a timely themed sermon on giving. Some of you would be pleased with this, and likely most of you were probably wishing right about now that you'd taken this Sunday off. You might be mentally preparing yourselves to hear me say, in more words than is probably necessary, that the lesson of this story is that we should all give to the church until it hurts. Well, I'm afraid I'm about to probably disappoint all of you. Those that want a sermon reminding us that as disciples we should give to the church, and those who would rather that I never ever talked about money at all. I actually didn't pick this text because we are in the midst of our fall fundraising campaign. It's really actually the prescribed gospel reading from this week's lectionary. For the record, you need to know that I actually don't really subscribe to the practice of being given a specific message to preach and then having to find a scripture reading to support it. Too often, that can lead to a really irresponsible use of scripture. So today, instead of saying that as Christians we need to give to the church and that this is a story that teaches us that, I would far rather we heard this story and then asked, what, if anything, does it teach us about giving? So seeing as I get to be in the pulpit today, that's exactly what we are about to do. What does Jesus want his disciples to learn from this widow? This actually happened in the final week of Jesus' life. He and his disciples spent a fair amount of time that week in Jerusalem, lots of it in and around the area of the temple. And while they were there, Jesus kept finding himself having some rather tense interactions with some of the religious officials, largely because many of them at this point were trying desperately to find a way to discredit him. Well, the events of our reading happened right after one of those tense exchanges. In fact, the first part of our passage was Jesus' own response to those officials. He warned those listening to be wary of religious leaders whose egos may actually be ruling their hearts. Religious teachers whose piety was a show that was meant to impress people, but whose real character was actually nothing like the image they were trying to portray. It's pretty clear by Jesus' direct words that at this point, he'd had enough of their scheming. Sitting down with his disciples in a part of the temple called the Court of Women, Jesus watched as people brought in their offerings. Wealthy people, who were rather conspicuously throwing in large amounts of money, and notably along with them, a poor widow whose offering was so small most people wouldn't even notice it. She only had two small coins to give. Some people probably would have thought that it was not even worth the effort to count it and record it. But Jesus didn't. He didn't think that way. Where the clatter of all of those large offerings probably attracted a lot of attention from most people, it was the widow and her two little coins that caught his eye. And in classic Jesus fashion, he took that opportunity to teach his disciples how to see things the way he was seeing them. He said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." So, what did and does Jesus want us to learn from this woman's act of giving? Well, certainly by her example, we see that God's people give. Giving to the church around the world to support the work that God does through the church is a part of our faith. It's a way that we can each actively participate in God's kingdom work. It's also a way that we can grow in our faith and trust in God. Despite what we sometimes slip into thinking, our giving is actually not primarily about keeping the institution of the church going. When the church is faithfully pursuing God's call to us, that is often what happens, but it's the result of that faithfulness. It's not the actual point of it. Giving is a way that God invites us to join with him in what he's doing in the world. And I suspect that the widow in our story today understood this, and it looks like she truly believed it. It seems that being able to join in with, as part of the community of God's people, and joining in God's work meant the world to her. Maybe even far more than it meant to the rich people who gave out of the excess of their wealth. So seeing that we are actually giving to God's mission when we give, to our local church or otherwise, that's a pretty good lesson for us to start with today. But I think that there's even more in this story. This woman gave her last two coins, and it's always good to pay attention to the part of the story that seems strange. Well, as odd as it might sound to say it, hers was an extravagant act, not just of giving, but of generosity. And Jesus held her up as an example for his first disciples to follow, which they clearly did. If we look at the stories of the church's earliest days, we see that those followers, those first disciples who became the apostles, really became known for their generosity. Throughout the early church, generosity was noteworthy, and it was actually marked them as unique. Remember that what we read in Acts 2, with the coming of the Holy Spirit, the church was born. Well, before we even get to the end of that same chapter, we hear that all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And as the Spirit led them and their ministry really got going, we're told that no one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. And that from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sale of them and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. By Acts 6, when the first deacons were called to care for the hungry widows, it had become clear that looking after each other was an important aspect of life in the Christian church. Well, as time went by, the churches being planted in and beyond Jerusalem really became known for their generosity and for their willingness to give what they had to help in the work of loving God and loving others. As the years went by, the churches would send gifts far and wide to help fellow Christians. They'd send gifts to Paul when he was in prison in Rome. And an offering was sent to Jerusalem for the Christians there who were facing terrible persecution and poverty. If there was a need that came to their attention, they gave what they could to address it. Following the example of the widow at the temple, those early Christians became known for being generous, giving people. So how did that virtue develop in them? Well, that day, as the disciples heard Jesus commend the widow's generosity, he quite literally turned their understanding of what generosity looks like on its head. He explained that it wasn't the big gifts that were generous. It was her 2 cents. It was her giving everything she had. Now, while I am sure that that lesson must have been formative for them, without question, it was what happened in the days following it that cemented this virtue of sacrificial generosity in their hearts. Remember, Jesus commended the widow for giving everything, all she had in her life. And just days later, his closest friends watched as Jesus gave everything, including his life, for them, for us, to meet a need that none of us can meet on our own, to meet the deep need only he can meet for us. We talk in the church about Jesus' crucifixion and about what it did, and we say that it atoned for our sins in some way and that it defeated the powers of death, that it's redeeming this fallen world. But we don't often talk about how it teaches us what generosity really is. And about how this rich life that we long for truly comes through giving of ourselves. My friends, I don't need to prod you all to consider how this might apply to each of you personally. In his time, the Holy Spirit teaches each of us this in ways that are appropriate for each of us throughout our lives. But before I am done today, I do want to prod us a bit as a congregation, together, communally. We heard from our board chair a couple of weeks ago that things seem to be changing a bit in the financial picture for us. And of course, that can be concerning. We are, and we will be, prayerfully exploring all the ways that we might address that. But along with trying to discern if we're being called to fix it in a certain way, we might also want to keep something in mind. This widow seemed to have been willing to risk her own well-being, perhaps even her life, in order to give as she felt the God she loved was calling her to give. And Jesus commended her generosity. As we remembered together today, the people in the early church were often prepared to give of themselves when they felt led by the Holy Spirit to do so. And the witness of that generosity drew many, many people to Christ. It's part of what made the church grow so quickly. So it's possible that the church, maybe even our congregation, might sometimes be called to undertake its mission, even at the risk of losing its life. Now, I am not saying that I think that this is the case for us. I honestly don't know if it is. I'm only saying that I know that as a congregation, we need to be generous. And that being generous might mean being willing to take some risks, as together we discern and we follow the Spirit's leading for us. Because remember, Jesus also said that whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Amen.
Hello. Please join me in these, the prayers of the people. Today's prayer is a responsive prayer. And join me when I say, Lord, hear our prayer. Merciful God of compassion and justice, have mercy on us as we confess our sin. We are not the stewards Christ calls us to be. Riches possess us while others go hungry. We mismanage creation with our pollution and strife, to obtain ever more than we already have. We abuse your provision for us by our selfish desires. Help us hear again Christ's call to be faithful. And through him, forgive us as we repent of our sin and turn from it. Lord, hear our prayer. Loving God, teach us the joy of hospitality, which welcomes friend and stranger, neighbor and enemy, and so finds you feasting among us. Lord, hear our prayer. God of abundance, the widow of Jerusalem, with two small coins, offered to you her love, her worship, and all she had. Teach us the joy of giving freely, which counts nothing as ours by right, but willingly shares and so finds you sharing with us. Lord, hear our prayer. God of resurrection, Christ Jesus, with his whole being, sacrificed himself for the sake of your love for us. Teach us the joy of giving ourselves to you, so that we yearn for your presence, long for your salvation, and so find you living in us. Lord, hear our prayer. God of mercy, it is ever your will that we love and work and pray for those who are in need of bread and of shelter, of healing and of wholeness. Hear the prayers we make for those of our world, those of our community, and those of our family who are in need. We lift before you now in the silence of our hearts and with the words of our lips. Lord, hear our prayer. Bless, we pray, O God, your church throughout the world, and help it to fulfill the purpose you have given it. And especially we pray for our own congregation. Guide us each day and help us to give as completely as we have received. We ask it in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, our brother and our friend. Amen. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, as we are in the midst of our fall fundraising campaign, let me take this moment to thank you. To thank you for all of the ways you give throughout the whole year to the life and work of the church. And to thank you for the ways you are prayerfully considering how and if you might be able to participate in this particular campaign. We so appreciate your faithfulness to the work of God through this congregation. So let's pray now and dedicate all of the gifts that have been given in all of their forms this week to God's purposes. Giving God, people give for so many reasons, some of them good and some of them not. Remind us of your call to examine ourselves and everything we have, for all of it is a gracious gift from you. You call us to use all we have wisely, to share openly and to give generously. So we thank you for the opportunity and the celebration of giving. Receive our offering this week and use it as you will, granting us the deep satisfaction in knowing it is furthering the work of your kingdom in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just one announcement that we are, a reminder that we are in the middle of this two-week fall fundraising campaign time here at St. Stephen's. You should have received an email if you are on our email list with all of the details about how to participate in that. Thank you for considering doing so. Dear friends, may the holy wisdom of God guard your ways and guide your paths. May the living truth of God enlighten your hearts and open your minds and encourage you to live boldly, trusting in all of God's promises. And may the Spirit of God give you life and life to the full. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all and all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. Body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his. Bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. And no power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. And no power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ.